Blog Talk Radio.
Jag är hebré från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani Ivriam Israel. Ohevet et shevet straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico. Y amo a la tribu de Straightway, y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Sa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Hallelujah, I love my straightway tribe and sisters. Bless you to each and every international sister that spoke on that intro. Bless you, welcome to another live show. I'm Sister Ashley, I'm your host tonight. I got Mother Jennifer with me. I have not spoken to Mother Jennifer about what we're going to chat about tonight. It's going to be a surprise to even her. I hope that you guys will call in if you want to ask us something, if you want to give a testimony, or maybe send an email. All right, so our guest call is 310-982-4226. We're going to keep this pattern all the way to the feast. Hearing from you benefits us greatly because we know how to talk and we know how to help you and answer. Hallelujah, and give the people what they're really looking for to the best of our ability. Welcome again, all praises to the Most High Yah. For only 3 Shabbats until trumpets, 5 Shabbats until atonement. And atonement is at sundown, Saturday night, September 23rd. So it's not always on a Saturday night, all right? And when it is, it's a back-to-back, almost if you want to say, Sabbath for us. So what we do is we eat our Sabbath meal. We'll have our snack night early. And then on that next day, we don't eat. Hallelujah. We fast together. We afflict our souls. And we won't come together or eat again until the night of September 24th, hallelujah, which will be almost Monday. But bless you again and again. Mother Jennifer, I hope you hear me. Everyone is saying tens, and everyone's saying shalom and blessings to me and you. Thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you for filling in last week's show. It was wonderful, you and Mother Chris. I'll give a little input about that very shortly. But Mother Jennifer, let's get a sound check from you.
Hallelujah. Welcome back, Sister Ashley. You know, it's always good to have you in the driver's seat. Always good to have you here on the broadcast and always good to hear your voice. So you definitely were missed. I pray everyone is doing well. I'm Mother Jennifer here at Straightway, Georgia. I am the Isha of Elder Rufus. I pray everyone is doing well. I pray you can hear me, Sister Ashley, and whenever you're ready, we can move forward.
Praise God. Thank you again for the Be a Blessing senders and those who are watching that video and getting anything to us or bringing it, shipping it. Thank you so much, truly, for the Be a Blessing items that are coming in. We're able to mark a few things off the list. Nothing for your list, though. Nothing removed from the list. Everything still needed. Nothing priority at this time. If anyone asks any of you, sometimes folks will call and see what is most needed. Everything is still needed. And thank you to the boxes coming in. May the Most High Yah really shine his face on all those who give, even giving in prayer when you can't give monetarily. Thank you for your commitment to everybody. Bless you to our aged women and mothers. Thank you, Mother Chris, for your kind words at the end of last week's show. Mother Jennifer, thank you for leading it. I had initially sent a quick polo to Mother Jennifer today saying that my intention for tonight's show was to dissect last week's show, since I wasn't on it, from Mother Chris and Mother Jennifer, and try to recreate questions based on their input, based on their conversation, and I really couldn't do it. I really couldn't do it, so I didn't touch base with Mother Jennifer later on today, since I haven't. I listened to it, and I couldn't add. I couldn't take away. I couldn't dissect and put myself into it, you know, in a way that I initially wanted to, just trying to create a show for tonight and trying to, you know, create communication for tonight. So just sharing that. That didn't come to pass. So that's why I am inviting you guys to call in, and that's why I am asking for your emails to have some input tonight. But I do have a little bit of a conversation starter, and I want to share some things, and I want to pick Mother Jennifer's brain on how to be an overcomer. And that really is tonight's conversation, how to be an overcomer. So let's see. One thing about the feast coming up, we have Marketplace, and Marketplace, I'm not aware of the date, but when it is announced, if you're selling, remember to call in. Remember to touch base with Mother Carol. You will get a sign for your table. If you have a specific thing that you would want written, your business name, whatever it is, if it's the same as last year or not, please touch base with Mother Carol. Leave a message of what you want your table to say. If you don't call us, we're going to call you because we do want it to be professional, and she does want exactly what you want on that sign. So someone from Straightway will be touching base with you. Amara is going to be typing up those signs. Everything is going well. I don't currently have a cell phone. If any of you have privately contacted me, it's having some glitches that make it inoperable. It started maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago as far as just glitching and jumping from app to app and acting like someone is inside of it, using it, texting, calling when I'm not calling. So, yeah, just got to dive into fixing it when it becomes Deacon Bell's priority. And at this time, it's not. So for those of you who are reaching me, you are going through Sister Diane. and anyone on the land. Honestly, you can contact me through the dining hall, and I have been getting calls that way, so I appreciate that. But I had to throw this out in open air because so many of you I do connect with. Some of you I was even helping in very personal matters, and I'm not able to communicate with you at this time. But to the Most High Yah be all the glory. His will is being done, and he is your Elohim. So he'll bring your answers to you, whether I'm a part of your journey or not. Mom Jennifer, 5 weeks until the Feast of Tabernacles, ma'am. Do you have anything to say about that?
5 weeks. Wow. 5 weeks until Tabernacles. Sister Ashley, I wanted to ask you about the Be a Blessing list. At the rate that you all are receiving supplies, do you foresee the list being fulfilled by time Tabernacles gets here?
No, ma'am. I do foresee that the paper towels being fulfilled or possibly scratched. That's one of the first items usually each feast that gets scratched. But at this time, no. We will get some plates, get some bowls, get some cups for sure. And I can see the cutlery being taken care of. Yes, that's my projections. But no, the list is not going to be at this rate. It's not going to be fulfilled, Mother Jennifer. And then there's always a good surprise of those who travel with items too. And that's always, you know, an X factor. So I could be very wrong.
Yes, ma'am. And I know a lot of times people might wait until the last minute to get their items, and that's okay. However, make sure that you contact the dining hall to let them know what you plan to bring. So if you're traveling with items and you plan to bring something, call the dining hall and please let them know what you plan to bring. So you heard it from Sister Ashley. At this rate, with the way that things are being received, everything will not be crossed off the list. And the goal is to not put a strain on Straightway at all. You know, they're hosting so many people for the feast. They are such gracious hosts. They are providing food. They're providing water. They're providing so many things that you really wouldn't even think of logistically. So let's just try to do what we can to get the things that we need to get on the list. So it really helps if we would just expedite the giving when it comes to Be a Blessing. And if you're going to bring the items with you or if you're going to send them at a later date, then contact the dining hall and let them know what you commit to do. All right, Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Just one more reminder to please send in your emails if you have any question at all. StraightwayHelpMeets@gmail.com while we're live. Spoke to a sister today on the phone who hopefully will be listening live through her phone for the first time. Guest call in tonight, 310-982-4226. Press 1 if you want to talk to us. Be considerate of everyone's time when you speak, so that you don't overspeak or take too much airtime. And then, of course, step away from your computer speakers. We'll see how tonight goes. Sometimes we put out that, we put that out for you to call or email, and then, hey, Yah leads another way, and we just conversate, and nothing happens on the phone line end. We'll see. I was moments before the show, maybe like 30 minutes before the show when I was coming up, and I really just, as I always say, Mother Jennifer, just pretend that I don't always say it. When my husband usually blesses me going out the door, and he'll even pray over me, you know, that I speak with love, and that anyone who has the ears to hear the Father's voice would hear the Father through Mother Jennifer and myself, through our experiences. And this particular moment with my husband, I really just told him I didn't have anything. And anyway, long story short, he said, talk about overcoming. And so that's the reason why I want to direct it this way. But I'm going to go a different way, Mother Jennifer. It's probably going to make you smile. And I'm going to tell you about my day, okay? Now, the reason I'm telling you about my day, well, the reason I think that I'm telling you about my day is so that each one of us know that we're all in this life together, this fight together, you know, with afflictions or small things all the way to large things, that there's a constant opposition, you know, and it refines you. And so maybe there's a unrealistic idea of how the righteous are living. Maybe there's an unrealistic view of the opposition that we face, like perhaps there isn't any, you know. In Christianity, not even just Christianity, Mother Jennifer, but in the weakness of our flesh, we really want all obstacles to be removed. I wanted that at 20, and I wanted it at 30, and I still wanted it at 40. You know, it's not going to happen, but the desire carnally just doesn't go away, right? But how you handle them and how you don't allow them to affect you is really the focus when you're an overcomer, you know. And I was sharing, me and Granny Barb laughing before the show, as she's my only one audience member. Give a big hallelujah, Granny Barb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I know that our sisters, Mother Jennifer, we're all in this fight together, and I know that we have afflictions. And pause this as I'm introducing tonight's show, and I have a story to tell. Pause this. I almost forgot. So once again, thank Mother Jennifer and Mother Chris for the show. And I noticed that the title, Sister Aya does a great job with the thumbnails, the pictures. I don't even know the network of pictures that you guys send to her, or how she gets them is just superb. It's beautiful. And captivating on that word love, and the way that you guys spoke about it was really beautiful. And that's really why I couldn't re-ask any questions or really dissect that show like I wanted to. Because it was just, you just covered it, you know? You covered it when you spoke about love. But I want to pull up this, I'm going to read like three quick paragraphs out of the Deliverance Manual from Jean B. Moody. And Sister Alex, bless you, your body and your womb, page 83. That's where I'm reading from. And it says, when people are hurt and do not completely forgive, they let Satan's demons minister to them. And they can build a demonic personality in their mind and body. This personality is not normal, and it usually is not pleasant. It is healing to the body and mind to completely forgive, holding nothing back. When you have nothing against others, the next step is to forgive yourself completely. Then, with obedience to the biblical principles, you can build a healthy mind. It will not be easy, but it will be the most exciting thing that you ever do. So what is the root cause of most personality problems? In the people that we have worked with, and we meaning he speaks of himself, Jean Moody, in this book, says that in the people that he has worked with, personality problems originate with a very serious rejection. As a result of not being wanted, a person will spend a lifetime trying every means he can to get people to accept him. And if he cannot get a feeling of acceptance, he will become increasingly more removed from normalcy. He will become more bitter, and he will eventually rebel against all authority. Children who are betrayed through abuse can hardly trust anyone, even God. They cannot comprehend true love. Therefore, they cannot accept nor comprehend the love of Jesus. They cannot understand abiding help. Therefore, they cannot understand the work of the Holy Spirit. The Most High does not promise a life without pain or loss, but he shows us how to respond to all parts of our life. Read Hebrews 12. Don't neglect to read the last half. Hallelujah. Wanted to introduce the word forgive so that anytime it is brought up tonight, and we really highlight that, Mother Jennifer, if you'll make a note to the thoughts that come to your mind about forgiveness. It is so paramount. It's so important when you're being molded by the Father to forgive and let go. And that's really what came to my mind with you guys talking about love and talking about the relationships among sisters, because the relationships prior in our life really do play a part in the ones we're trying to build if we're holding on to anything. So anything you want to add, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. I'm glad that you brought up forgiveness because, you know, you cannot go to the Father and request or ask anything of him if you have not, if you're holding unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone. And so a lot of times people will say, well, what is the one thing that I should work on regarding deliverance? And I always start with forgiveness. Is there anybody that you need to forgive? Is there anyone that you have an offense with in your heart? Is there any level of unforgiveness that you're holding toward yourself? So we always start, it's always a really good idea to start with unforgiveness, because without doing that, you can't get any further. And you mentioned personality disorders and how it's rooted in rejection. And it's so true because, you know, a lot of times if you are given into the spirit of rejection for such a long time, you have learned how to function by changing your personality, changing who you are to suit what you think would be received by somebody else. So you can't even be yourself because you're trying to be someone else that you think others would receive. And so I agree, this is where all these personality issues come in, because you're trying to be something that you're not because of major levels of rejection. Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. Thank you. So tonight's topic will be, we'll kind of jump all over the place. It's going to have a conversation flow, truly. If you need us, call us, 310-982-4226. All right, so I'm going to give you my day. And I noticed as we age and as I've aged in the faith, most and majority of my days repeat themselves, whether everything would naturally go as planned or not at all. And I've seen this kind of day before. But for whatever reason, and with willing obedience, my husband said, talk about it, you know, talk about it. So I was late to our very first PE class, and I'm a teacher. I'm not the PE teacher. But I wake super early. And on my home time and my alone time with the father, I don't wake the boys, or my husband doesn't even wake them, somewhere between 6:30, 7 a.m. So 7 a.m. is PE time. And it's like I woke them up as normal. 7:05. I'm in the living room walking through, and boom, it hits me. Day one of PE. Oh, my God, get moving. Let's go, guys. You're late. It's because of me, you know. Get dressed. Let's go. They got their school uniforms on. We need our PE uniform on. So get moving, and let's go, right? So we're marching on down. We're late to PE. Great start of the day, right? So then we have disciplined children behavior. Issues, nothing but training, that's all. That's what we're supposed to do. So then I send one of mine to the house to be disciplined further. We get to the house 15 minutes before, y'all, and y'all probably listening with attention and seriousness, but it's humorous too, okay? So I'm only sharing this entire day, Mother Jennifer, so you can pause me at any point to either laugh or to relate, but maybe even share your day. But I head to the house at 15 minutes till 8 a.m. When do we need to eat breakfast in the dining hall? 8 a.m. We got 15 minutes. These three boys change clothes. You got your clothes laid out already. This should be no problem. I'm going to change mine. We're going to get right back to this dining hall on time. Now, the funny thing is I get to about the concrete beds in the garden, and I hear a little voice go, red light. And I kept walking. And I heard the little voice go, I said red light. So I turn around. I said, well, look at there. It's Hezekiah and Summer. I got to play red light. Now, it's only going to take me about 3 minutes to walk home as opposed to one. So I stop every time he says red, she does too, and we walk every time he says green. I get to the steps. Nehemiah's crying. What's going on, Nehemiah? I can't find my school shirt. Well, you just had it before PE. Let's backtrack. Treasure hunt, that's what I say. It's not really treasure. It's just the thing we're looking for. Everybody right now, let's go. We're looking for Nehemiah's shirt. We can't find this thing anywhere. Well, now it's 8 o'clock on the dot. We're late to breakfast. Where's the shirt, son? This can't happen again. Well, it's in the stroller the entire time. All right, so 8:05, we're late to breakfast. I get there. That's not pleasing to Deacon, right? You can't be late to breakfast. I've been late to breakfast, Mother Jennifer, before, and Elder Becker has made sure Deacon Bell knows about it. Why is your wife late? That's a good disciplined life, you know? It's good accountability. So it's 8:05. I'm like, when I get there, right? Because we've been rushing. I went from red light, green light to looking for the navy blue shirt to now we're sitting at 8:05. Not to mention I'm still on the inside contemplating, did I discipline my 10-year-old according to my husband's mind? Are we finished? Right? So I'm pondering this while I'm sitting my son in the, my youngest, into the high chair. I get phone calls. No problem. I don't got a cell phone. You're going to call me at 8:03. Matter of fact, you need to. So I take a few phone calls to my ear while I'm feeding and making plates. And then I say, you know, this would be a perfect opportunity after breakfast. I got a few minutes. I'm going to go run and clean this freezer that me and my freezer team defrosted the night before. Now, they're thinking they're going to clean it. I'm wanting to bless them because I only got like 25 minutes till I get to the schoolhouse. So let me go bless my freezer team because they know I'm going to school. So I go start to clean the freezer, and I get a few phone calls. No problem. I still got my toddler. And I got about, 12 students up front in the down hall doing an exercise video. So I say, all right, hurry up. Let's go. Let's get to the school. Now, Angelica's running around just like me. She just finished watering, clipped this hedge, and did that yard work and everything else she got going on. You got to be up the hill at 9 o'clock to meet all the sisters. I'm sure the majority of the sisters on the land have these exact same days. I'm positive. And so we get to school. I'm only 5 minutes late to school, but this is the pattern. I'm already been late to PE, not good. I was late to breakfast, not good. Now I'm late to school, 5 minutes. No problem, okay? Now, inside me, I'm worked up. I can feel the anxiety of trying to be on time and trying to meet the mark, and I'm missing it. But in the exterior, what you master is suppressing the flesh and walking in the spirit. And so go to school. Common stress of non-students, right? You can't imagine that there's going to be a day that's not some form of it's very structured. It's absolutely wonderful. Something falls off the wall, right? I have this big thing hanging on the wall, hard to explain. Falls off the wall, and the girls, Zephyr, right? And yell at Zephyr. So that was another moment in time. While someone knocks on the door at the exact same time the thing hits to the ground, I go to the door, and it's Meek Diane who says, excuse me, I'm sorry for the interruption. I have a few polos. Is now a good time? I said, sure, let me come outside. I'm going to take a breather, right? I get the students squared away. Now, I got my toddler on my hip. I got 9 students and a toddler on my hip. I go outside, take care of a couple polos. It's that time of year. I need to do that. That's what I need to do. So we make it, Mother Jennifer, to... Is this entertaining, Mother Jennifer? It's very quiet on the other end. How are you?
It's very entertaining. Like Mother Chris said, she's tuned in. I'm tuned in to this story, too. Please keep going.
Everybody's tuned in because y'all got these exact same days. And as you age, and especially as you age in the faith, you really do nail your mature response to it. You know, you don't speak of it as it's happening, and you'll hear more. Okay, I'm halfway there. So I get out of school and I say, you know what? My toddler is still needing to nurse. He only nurses to sleep now. Hallelujah. He's up. He's 1 year old. And so we're finished nursing except just to sleep. And so I'm going to go put him to sleep. And I said to Cheyenne, we're finishing up our day in the school, and she's my my teacher assistant. I said, you can wrap this up. She's finishing up the last and final art class for everybody. It's the fun part of the end of the day. We're heading to, I'm heading to the dining hall. I'm going to go put him to sleep. I hit the dining hall. I just laid him down in the stroller. And the phone rings in the, thank you. Was this Ashley Miles? Good job, Ashley Miles. Can you pull this up, Sakina? while I'm yakking on the live show, Sakina pops in. It's right here. And let me mute it. And, all right, so a phone call comes in. I just laid Yaor down, and Cheyenne pops in just finishing up the day. And she took the phone call. I'm on my way out of the dining hall with the stroller, and she says, excuse me, could you take this call? This woman really needs help, you know? Sure, take the call. Now, fifth day, guys, we cook dinner at home, okay? So I don't got a meal at 3 o'clock provided for me and the bills, and I also feed any guests that come. I took a very weighty phone call, you know, one that you kind of sort through how you can help and what you can do for the person. That would be, did she send the link?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Here's your mouse.
Okay. Manually enter it.
Thank you so much for your time. She just got back, been on the road all day. So I took a very weighty phone call, and I got to get this dinner out by 3 o'clock, right? All right, so go home. I don't know what time it was, 1:30 maybe, 2 o'clock. Start whipping up dinner. Dinner's going to be tacos. I'm excited about it. The boys love tacos, right? And it's the little mini shells, so they're super cute. I cook everything, dice everything, get it all ready. It's 2:30, right? Tacos are easy. I try to make it according to I'm going to be in school all day, trying to make the meal easy enough to be able to whip something nice for Teacher Shane. I always feed Teacher Shane and the bells. And so I get all of it finished, Mother Jennifer, all my quantities. I reach into the cabinet to get the taco shells, and it's an empty box. It's an empty box. It's a huge box of taco shells. I didn't eat them. And if anybody in the house ate them, they didn't ask. And, you know, at their age, they're still asking, can they have something? If you don't, they'll eat all day long. What happened to the... And nobody's home because they're all out playing. I said, well, now I'm going to go to the dining hall, and I'm going to have to get some tortillas. I don't got that either. I can't put this taco salad on a sandwich. What am I going to do with this? Thank you so much. Look, there you go. And I go to, I'm walking towards the dining hall. I look over to the garden bed, and I see Nicole. And you know I don't got a cell phone, so Nicole, text mother for me and see if she got some taco shells. The taco shells that I had or thought I had in the box at home, Mother Jennifer, that was given to me by Mother Carol. And I didn't even know they existed. You know how somebody else gives you something that you love that you wouldn't have bought, but when they give it to you, like, oh, I never heard of that. That's what that is. So maybe because she's the originator of giving me this, maybe she got some. Sure enough, hallelujah, it's 2:35, she's got some taco shells. Let me turn around and walk that way. Walk down to Mother's, get the taco shell. Let me pause and finish this, okay?
2 hours, 1 minute, 48 seconds. I got you queued at 2 minutes, 2 hours, 1 minute,
48
seconds.
Good job. Thank you so much, Ashley Miles and Sakina. On my way to on my way to Mother Carol's, pastor's home, I grabbed the taco shells. And I'm walking home. I'm halfway home with these taco shells. I'm so excited. She gave me tortillas just in case. I said, I can't use my everything that I made in tortillas, guys, because it's going to take more. You know that, right? All my sisters know that. I got the mini shells that I cook for. Stuffing a big quesadilla or a burrito is a totally different quantity. All right, so I'm walking halfway home, and out pops Mama Nelly. And Mama Nelly says, you want another box? Oh, yes, I want another box, right? So I turn around, I go back, I grab them. I walk in the house, and it's smoke so thick that you can hardly see anything while my 10-year-old is asleep on the couch. I said, what? I run into the kitchen, and the 3 inches of water that I'm only boiling some fresh corn on the cob straight from the land, 3 inches of water is gone in 15 minutes or 10 or whatever long it took me to get to Mother's and Nellie's. You got to be kidding me. I ain't even got the thing on medium. I know my oven. This is a joke. The corn is burnt to the bottom. Something today, Mother Jennifer, something's trying to get to me. But it ain't got to me yet. And look, it's already 6:30 and it still ain't get me because I'm an overcomer, right? So this box of taco shells is empty. I borrow the shells. We have an amazing dinner. The corn was burnt. Don't forget, though, while I'm cleaning up the corn, pan because it burned on the bottom. I burnt the 12 cookies that I made in the oven, focusing on the corn. Man, well, Nehemiah loves burnt cookies. So I like burnt things. I'm not eating the cookie, but, hey, no problem, right? Just think on the bright side. And, of course, my other two get to go, Mom, why are they so black? Well, you can either eat them or we're going to lose them because Mommy was focused on other things. Something else came up. While I'm airing out all the smoke, Deacon comes in. What the hell happened in here? This house smells like I burned something. Well, I didn't run down I did not bore him with my entire spiel that I just gave you, but I said, I've been fighting today, Deacon. I've been fighting. And anyway, from the time that I cleaned up after dinner and then headed up to the show, nothing else occurred. But I've never thought to share any of these type of days, you know what I mean? They happen to everyone, all of us, I'm sure, right? We're all in the flesh. So we definitely have to perfect how we react to these type of days. So that's how I'll start the show, Mother Jennifer. Let's hear your mind.
I believe it happens even more so on fifth days for us, Sister Ashley. You wake up with your mind set on the things that you want to accomplish. You know you have a show in the evening, and you know that, okay, I need to make sure that I clear out this space so that I can get my mind together for the broadcast. And fifth days, it seems like that's when, you know, a lot of other things really needs attention. Like, you know, I had my mind set today to go in and prep to make the Shabbat meal, to start prepping Shabbat meal. Now, the good thing is that I had a lot of help. So I went in and I literally had, I got in there at 9 o'clock this morning. I had taken one loaf of bread that I was tearing apart to make breadcrumbs. And when I looked up at the clock, because there were so many different diversions, there were so many different things that needed to be taken care of. There were phone calls. There were just a lot of different diversions. I looked up and it was noon. And all I had done was tear apart one loaf of French bread. And that was it. So from 9 until noon, and there were so many diversions, and I looked at Jeanette and I laughed and I said, you know, if anybody asked me, hey, what'd you do today? Oh, well, I tore apart some bread, but I think that's about it. You know, it's like, where does the time go? And it seems like fifth day is a day where there are so many diversions, so many things happen, so many things take place, and you do have to get to a place where, you know, you can get your mind prepared for the broadcast. So you are absolutely right. Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley?
You know, Sister Wanda from Canada types, these stories can be hilarious when they're shared because they happen to us all. And that's true. And it's really like in any type of moment when you're feeling the anxiety, or even if it's whatever you may deal with, maybe irritation, agitation, things that are, you know, when you lose kind of control of your day and all these things occur, there is a mindset that you can grab a hold of and kind of walk in, not kind of, that you can walk in to really be victorious in these days. Because by the time, like I said, as I'm 40, that I've had so many of them, it would be very humorous to share them because you wouldn't know that out of 3 to 4 to 5 days a week, it might happen that way. And if you look at it from the wrong mind, you would think that you're not blessed. But it's really, there's a lot of opposition. There's a war against the saints. And then there's human error, because you can't blame everything on the devil. But, yeah, I wanted to bring, come on in, Granny Barb. Come on in, Granny Barb. This is going to make us all relatable. And I think sometimes that's important, Mother Jennifer, because hearing us from afar and not touching us, shaking our hands and seeing us, it can really make a divide, you know. And so I want to bring that relatability, that simplicity, that practical, that sharing effect, you know, that we have as a people to keep us all right where we need to be to glorify the Most High. So I come in here with Granny Barb, and you guys have heard her voice before. And I'm like, you know what, Granny, I'm going to talk about my my day. My husband said, talk about it. Be an overcomer. You know, talk about practical day-to-day things and be an overcomer. And I share a few things, and she shared something, and I had to laugh. So tell me about it. Tell me about going to the gas station, Granny Barb. What, yesterday? A couple days ago?
Yesterday.
All right, this is yesterday for Granny Barb. Let's go.
Yes, ma'am. Well, being a little older woman, you know, you start to rely on everybody, and you got to get gas for the vehicle that they've given me because I live a little far from the dining hall. They've been blessed me. So I've been doing it on my own until I started spilling it in other people's cars and the vehicles.
What, the 5-gallon gas tank you mean?
Yes,
oh, they
yes,
were spilling. Okay,
yes.
So she has to take a 5-gallon gas jug, get it filled, like, in town, and then fill her car up on the land, right?
That's right.
We, okay,
right.
All right.
But you know, there's
so
just...
So you've had some conflicts.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
Jesus.
Yes.
All right.
And, you know, like you say, some of it's human error, but some of it's these daggone gas tanks that we get, man, with these plastic things in your sticks and nozzle there. It all comes out, and it's like, whoa, this is filled the bag now.
Oh.
I got to put this in the sister's
car. In a
car. And, you know, well, anyway, so the smell's not good. So we overcame that with, okay, now we've got to lean on Elderbecker now completely because he's got the truck.
Oh, he's going to do it for you now.
Right.
All right.
Well, Granny comes and says, look,
Granny Diane comes,
says, Lisa and I will take in your gas tanks and we will do it for you. I said, oh, that's nice. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the day goes and they don't get to do that. As many things came up. So the next day, Granny Diane says, look, you and I will go right after breakfast. I said, oh, that's great. Okay, no problem. We do that. We get back and she says, look, do you want to go ahead and put these two tanks of gas in your gas, you know,
in
the
your
gas
car?
Tank.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I said, yeah, let's go ahead. So they are very heavy, and she and I both are not exactly 20 yet, you know, so
right.
We've got some age on
two,
it. So
5-gallon tanks of gas. Well, you say tank, but it's those handheld. Y'all know what I mean.
Yes,
that you fill your car up with if you ran out.
Right.
Okay.
That have the funkiest nozzle.
They have the funky nozzle.
You can't
pour it. You
got to
turn it the right way. You're going to pour it.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, I said, well, now, Granny, what I usually do is I get my bar stool, and I pop that bugger up there right by the gas, you know, and where you're pouring
the nozzle. Yeah.
And she says, well, I don't think we have to do that. You and I can both do it.
Now, y'all can see these two women at the gas tank, right?
Okay, all right. Okay, let's do it. So we're over there, and man, I'm having the shoulder quite a bit of it. Granny's got it, you know. Granny's got the just the handle thing. I'm like got the whole darn thing just about now, Granny. No offense, but I'm like, okay, I'm handling this. I'm not saying anything. I'm straining as much as I can, and all of a sudden the gas starts to come out, and it goes whoosh, right on Granny Diane.
Right down
the
skirt.
Right down the skirt on the shoes. I'm like, whoa, that's not good. Okay, hold up. I'm not doing too good.
And then you don't want, then you got to tilt it back. Well, she's got a nozzle that's still going full blown into your thing.
Yeah, so we struggle. I'm like, dang, I'm so sorry about that. Because just to pump the gas in the gas thing at the gas station, I had to do it so slow because the nozzle is strange. I'm like, I'm really sorry. It took us like 30 minutes to do one tank. I'm like, I'm sorry, it's so slow. We're just, you know. So anyway, I'm
times this by 35 or so that live here.
Right.
And then put that on our leaders.
Man.
The human error. The what happened to this and where is that and who did that? Well, we all got these stories. Well, the gas is here and that's, you know. We're looking at each other. Y'all can't see us looking at each other, but we go way back. Go ahead and tell them about my early days in the kitchen. I somehow can't remember them. She has to tell them, and that's the truth. Go ahead.
All right, first day
cook. Stress-free, huh?
Yeah, first day cook. Ashley, pastor says, I'm going to put you in the cook shack. You got to start cooking meals. And she's like, oh, my gosh, okay. Oh, okay. She's a little, I said, look, I'll come in with you because I knew anything could possibly go wrong. When you've been a cook in the kitchen, you know, man, a first-timer better have a little help. So I was in there. She decides she's going to do shish kebabs. And I'm thinking, shish kebabs? We've never really had that. That's okay. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to do pineapple. I'm going to do tomatoes. I'm going to do...
My first cook day.
Yeah.
My very first cook day
for
30-something
And she's
people.
Got all these spears. And we've got a
Nobody's
pretty...
going to take me away from this great idea, by the way, right? And
not
all
at
my
all.
Pride and all the glory.
Not at all. And so I'm thinking, wow, we've got some eaters. We'll have to make a lot of these. And so we get it all cooked and we get it all on the thing. And then all of a sudden, Ashley forgets... There's something else that has to go on there. And we're like a half hour before it's ready
Oops,
to be served.
The mushrooms or something.
Yeah, something. She just flipped out. And I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I got to get them all to me. I didn't have gloves. I had nothing. I had to pick them all up. They're hot. hot. They're all very hot. I pick them all off. We shove the things on there. We get it, and we do get it out on time. But
there you go.
Then the next time, her next thing is, I'm going to do raviolis. I'm like, raviolis, wow, okay, that's cool. I'm thinking she's going to roll the dough out. We're going to spread it on. We're going to put the cheese on. She did them individually,
one square at a time, which is like times 300 for 35 people. Don't get in my way, by the way, and don't tell me what to do. I'm brand new.
She kept running down the pasture. I can't do this.
I can't do this anymore. I can't cook anymore. Because of my decisions, I can't do it anymore.
But Patrick wouldn't hear it, and
no,
you can see what why. Look at
That's
what she
funny.
Does now. So hallelujah.
Thank you for sharing, Gunnar.
Yes,
thank you. Why is this important? I don't know. I'm not saying that it even is, honestly. But to put us down to earth, you know what I mean? To put us all down to earth and to say that, guys, we come on here week after week, and we glorify the Most High Yah as our Redeemer, as our Savior, as our Master. We uplift our husbands and their names. We represent a lot of things. When it comes to just living, these are the things that refine us, you know, that refine us from sunup to sundown, day in and day out. And these are many days on a community for many, many people. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, if you're ready, we do have a question, actually. We actually have a few questions, if you're ready.
I hope we talked long enough to get a flow going. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Praise God. Yes, Mother Jennifer, I'm
Hallelujah.
Ready for the flow.
Yes, ma'am. The first question says, Ashley mentioned suppressing the flesh in her overcoming story. Can you all please talk about the difference between suppressing the flesh and suppressing spirits that need to be dealt with? Can you talk about the difference between suppressing the flesh and suppressing spirits that need to be dealt with? Sister Ashley?
I think if you consider that question and you apply resisting the devil and he will flee, then you'll see over a course of time what you've resisted and what has overcome you. You know, what has its foothold in you, what you're tormented by and harassed and driven by is completely different than what you resist. And at first, there's not a lot of clarity when you're new to the war because you're resisting everything. Everything seems to oppose. You know, you have your flesh that you're resisting. You have your opposition and afflictions that come in the natural. You have the spiritual warfare. You're not sure if that's the devil or not, you know, and it's a lot of questions. And I think if you look at your game plan or your war plan over a longer period of time and take away the hastiness, I think you'll be able to sort through resistance. I know I didn't answer it all the way. Mother Jennifer, you'll bring a balance. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. You know, it's not giving a voice to your flesh and not giving a voice to the spirits that are trying to tempt you. So you're still putting yourself in a position to resist and deal with the spirits by getting the deliverance that you need, by walking the deliverance out. You're resisting every step of the way, but you're not allowing yourself to give voice to your flesh or to give voice to the spirits. So I hope that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
It does. And if you probably read in the Word where it says the works of the flesh are these, right? I think it's Galatians. But the works of the flesh are these, and there's a list, right? Let me jump over to page 90 in the same book. Whether you have this book or not, doesn't matter. It's a deliverance manual. It's red. It's from Gene B. Moody, okay? Let me show you really quickly a list of demons. It says, here are some demons that you may recognize, and I'm going to read them to you, okay? Punishment, discontentment, lying to yourself, covering up lies, cringing with fear of failure, dishonoring yourself, dishonoring others, foolishness. Some of them aren't what I want to read. Hold on. Gossip, deceit, strife, murder, jealousy, envy, malice, and greed, covetousness, guilt, iniquities, indecencies, even incest. All right. So that's just a small list of the hundreds of spirits that you are going to learn or possibly learn, maybe even the tens of spirits that you may learn. And when you consider your behavior, your behavior might be a result of any of these that I listed or haven't listed. And it's your job with working with the Ruach under his obedience and his leading and guidance through the many avenues that you might have in your life, through the people who are pouring into you, your husband, your pastor, etc., through the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will begin to discern, is the behavior that I'm dealing with based on the malice I have, the envy I have, the jealousy I have, right? And as you get free from those things, your behaviors change. Then you can start to introspect, look inside you, find something else, working with the Ruach to purge it out. You purge it out through confession and through humility, through a sincere desire to change. And only through the power of the Ruach can he sort through what the works of the flesh are versus what spirit you might be dealing with. And I'm mastering areas in my flesh right now that I do not have mastery over. And I can say I'm mastering them because it's my intention to master them. But what that looks like in the flesh, especially to even to people in my life, is that they're going to see those weaknesses. My mental commitment to master them is there, right? But living in common unity, we see one another's weaknesses. And allowing the Ruach to finish what he started in each person's really, really paramount. Back to the flesh, though, how I know that things are the flesh or how I know that it's a spirit, I really must give all that credit and glory to the Father and even through, you know, the answers that I received from my husband. But most definitely, it depends on who you are, what you've dealt with, and a large majority of the time, I have to say this, my sisters, it takes years to master stuff and get really clean and free. And you guys need a lot of deliverance. You need a lot of spirits and underbrush out of the way so that you can clearly see what remains, you know, where your strengths are and gain some victories. Hallelujah, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. You said something that was really important. You said, you know, when you live communally, when you live together, we see each other's weaknesses. And I think it's important to remember, though, that even though you see each other's weaknesses, that the focus should be on your own weaknesses. Not saying that you're not there to help strengthen your sister, you're not there to help her in any way that you can, but you're not there to continually point the finger at her. You are you put yourself in a better position if you focus on yourself instead of pointing the finger. So we do see each other's weaknesses, but it does not give you a path to accuse one another. So we're all working on, things that we have to overcome. We're all trying to overcome. And what I believe is that it gives you compassion. If you are at a point where you're in humility, just allowing the Father to work in you and he's showing you who you are, it allows you to have compassion for someone else. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of seeing each other's weaknesses, because we can have compassion on one another and we can help each other grow. Sister Ashley?
There's a question in the chat room. I'm going to read it. Shouldn't you humbly submit to Yah, overcome pride prior to resisting the devil? How can you separate those two? How can you separate humbly submitting yourself to Yah and resisting the devil when it's all a package deal? So I don't have to first humbly submit myself to Yah and then resist the devil. It comes together. It's what I do, right? It's a nature, that a godly nature that you strive for and you receive. So if I want to resist the devil, I'm already submitted to Yah. You mean in an area, perhaps? Maybe you just wanted to keep your question short and I'm misunderstanding. But I do want to say that one of the most overstated, misunderstood comments that I have continually heard for years and years is that, don't you got to do this before deliverance? And don't you got to do that before deliverance? Satan has a perfect plan to keep you checking all the boxes before you ever get free. And when you can't check all those boxes, you don't ever get free. And that's a perfect plot by him, because it keeps you in the condemnation of looking at the checklist and never feeling ready for deliverance. I keep myself in an always ready state of mind for deliverance, and I don't want to use myself in any sort of I way, because it's to y'all be all the glory in each of our lives for what he's doing. But I have a state of desperation for freedom 24/7. It doesn't matter if it's towards, you know, towards pride, towards rebellion, towards the nature, towards the flesh, towards the spirit, towards what I don't know or don't have an answer for. You keep yourself in a desperation for deliverance, warring against this thing, this nature, this spirit, making a constant separation whether it gets the victory over me or not. If I give in or yield to the works of the flesh and I do something in the flesh, does that mean I don't need deliverance? If I am warring against the spirit and making a separation that I recognize this spirit and I do not want any part of this spirit, but yet it has control over me, does that mean I'm not ready for deliverance? No. And it's very misunderstood, and it's very overstated, and that's just my personal opinion because I do hear it a lot. This, we got to do these steps before deliverance, means that where's the desperation and the readiness that's always at the forefront of the mind to say that I humble myself, I'm wrong, and I need to get free? Mother Jennifer, help me out.
Yes, ma'am, you're right. Sometimes, you know, I see people studying. I'm studying for deliverance. I'm looking into this. I'm looking into this spirit. And there's nothing wrong with doing your due diligence. There's nothing wrong with doing the work. There really needs to be a balance, though, because if you're sitting and you're studying continually and you're not getting in the chair, you know, sometimes getting in a chair is what helps you to think straight, to really get your mind right. So that you can see things the way that you need to. But if you're constantly looking in the red book and you're never getting in the chair, then that is not having the balance that you actually need to have. So it really is about making sure that you're doing the work, and this is why it's important to have that personal relationship with the Father, because he is the one that will give you the discernment. He is the one that is going to help you and to lead you and to guide you through every single step of it. But you've got to be obedient. You've got to be able to humble yourself, and you got to know, okay, I've looked into this enough. I think I'm ready to get in a chair. I'm ready for deliverance. You got to know when the devil is trying to talk you out of doing the thing that is actually righteous. Sister Ashley.
Absolutely, and being ready for deliverance in your early desperation, and what I mean by early is, you know, first few years in the faith, new to the way, new to even the acknowledgments of spirits, that desperation and that deliverance, that should, opinion, be immediate. You should be diving into that. You know, we come from, you know, I myself, 17 years, Mother Jennifer just as long, being with the Father, and there's a lot of levels of thinking that you sort through to get to where we are when it comes to, I know I'm not ready. I'm not ready for deliverance, or I need to do this first. And so when you hear that type of maturity speak, you can't apply that at the wrong stage, right? Because you are loaded, you know? And I don't mean that offensive, and I don't even know who that's directed to. So that's not to anyone listening. That's just what you got to. That's the way you got to talk to yourself. You know, I need a lot of help. That's what you got to say to you. You know, I need a lot of help. I got a lot of thoughts that are not mine. And when you mask that day after day after day, you're going to come out in the flesh. You know, with the works of the flesh, you're going to act out in these spirits because you're suppressing these natures and trying to arrive somewhere that you haven't worked hard to arrive to, you know, and that there's a fakeness and a phoniness to that. And I can see how intimidating Satan might present the dignity of the flesh. Does that make sense? I can see how Satan can present an intimidation in the atmosphere to want to be a certain way that you're not, because a very high standard is spoken of, and there are people who have mastered areas that perhaps each of us have not. And so if that intimidation is there, or if that mastery exist in front of you and you don't have it, then there can be a hypocrisy. There can be a hiding of spirits. You can suppress things because others aren't dealing with it. And that's pride. You know, that's holding on to dignity. That's not really fessing up. Like, I talked to a sister on the phone today and said, this is your soul. I hear what you're saying. I hear the afflictions and all that you're going through, but there's still not a seriousness about saving yourself. When it comes to saving ourselves, there is no one else's name involved. We have tools, our masters, our husbands, and people in our lives to help us save ourselves, but it is you, you, and you that is responsible for that. Taking heed to the information given to you and applying it or not, and taking a good, you know, introspective look at how you are utilizing the information given to yourself is important. And Mother Jennifer, I have to say, like, I have to have time to myself. Time to myself meaning me and Yah. Like, I have to. And I don't know in this busy life, in this social world, how much time each of us is taking for ourselves. I just want to put that out there and see what you think.
Or, you know, Sister Ashley, even better what you said, your self-time is time between you and Yah. But what the society teaches women is to take time for self only, you know, to just focus on you, just to indulge in things that would allow your mind to be idle, to not think about Yah. So is your self-time really self-time, or is your self-time really time with Yah? And I'm glad you made that distinction, because one is fruitful and one is completely unfruitful. So if you have a woman who is spending a lot of time to herself, if she gets a lot of self-time but she's not focusing on Yah, then it's not going to end well. It's not fruitful. You're not going to be built up. But if you're focusing on Yah, you're getting time with him, that is how you get to get built up so that you can handle the things of the day. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. A question in the chat says, how do you deal with children when you're having these types of days? I have to use the word easily. And the reason I say easily is not because in the flesh that it's easy. But if you can reflect on how important those souls really are, and if you really knew the accountability and your requirement that you will face before the Creator for your attitude and reactions and responses to the children, then you would remove yourself and selfishness and pour more into those children and be a good example for them, not allowing your day to affect them. Does that mean that there's perfection? No. Does that mean your children possibly won't see any stress or anything that you may be going through? No, but you should always express it with a maturity, you know. I talk to my students and I talk to Deacon Sons, very relatable in a sense of just life, you know, never pushing them away. Never sitting them off. Let's say, for example, you're a mother who's overwhelmed, and you've allowed that overwhelming feeling to consume you. So you're going to push your child to a computer. You're going to push them to an iPad. You're going to sit them in front of this. You can go to your room, right? There's perfect timing to utilize those tools, but what if it's too much? What if it's daily so that you can just think about you, think about yourself? You know, I know a lot of people who had terrible childhoods, and I had my fair share of terrible days and a terrible abusive childhood. I don't want anything like that for any child. And, you know, Mama Nelly spoke on a video that her and Pastor Dow did, and they were driving down the road, and she said, she used the words, it literally breaks my heart that mothers don't love their children. That you're not teaching them how to, you know, whatever it is, communicate, clean your body. You know, it is heartbreaking, because if she's coming from doing those things that were necessary for her children and sacrificing of herself no matter how she felt or what she did, and she lived through that to love them more than herself, then she can't relate to someone who doesn't. And so if that makes sense, Mother Jennifer, for those of us who love children more than ourselves, we can't relate to someone who doesn't love them. And you can't, you have to see how soft and how weak-minded you really are, that you can't gird up your loins and teach and train a child because you're wanting attention like a child. You're wanting help like a child. You're in some emotional or even a personality crisis, you know, as you're overwhelmed with sorting through life and shunning your child, you know. I don't know. I said a lot, but bring the balance. You always do, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, Elder Rufus and I talked about this, about some women even being in competition with their children. And children are here for you to teach them and to help them, not for you to be jealous of them or to be in competition. You know, I've seen even women getting upset if their children are getting more attention from the father than the mothers are getting. And it has nothing to do with putting this child through jealousy or, you know, their minds are very pure. And so it's very easy to hurt them. It's very easy to taint them. And you have to be able to lead them and guide them or you will be held accountable. You know, you're held to a higher standard. And don't take things personally. Like you said, Sister Ashley, you know, the women are the weaker vessels. And you have to learn how to not be so weak in your mind to where you can actually give the child exactly what they need. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Well said. Thank you so much. Hey, let's hit a song. I think you got some more questions, right, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
All right, be right back. Thank y'all for tuning in and listening in. Send more questions. It's been an hour already. So we'll move through the questions, and I won't spend so much time on one, y'all willing, when we get back. Bless you. We're back. Granny Barb's grabbing me some water, and we're ready for the next question. Mother Jennifer, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. It says, Shalom and blessings, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. How do you overcome the spirit of comparison? The question is, how do you overcome the spirit of comparison? Sister Ashley?
Hey, I got to use Elder Rob's control the controllables. What are you comparing? You know, is it something you can change? Change. Mom Muncie says, why would anyone compare or be jealous when we all serve the same God and he can do for you what he's done for me? Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. And it's about learning how to really appreciate different characteristics that are in your sister. So learn how to compliment your sister. Learn how to pick up and appreciate what her gifts are. And learn how to vocalize those things. Learn things about yourself that you actually do well and understand what your value is. And I believe that when you get caught up in comparison, you don't understand what your value is. You don't know your value as a woman, and you don't understand the value of someone else. And so Yah didn't create everybody to be exactly the same. So learn to appreciate the characteristics that he gave you and learn to appreciate the characteristics that he gave to your sisters. Mr. Ashley?
Praise Yah. And concrete examples as well would be to be grateful, to say it out loud, to talk to Yah out loud, begin to turn your mind and to focus on the things that you have, to develop a gratefulness for who he's made you and what he's done for you, to reflect completely different. So, like, for example, your mental focus is on the list of things you don't have, and you will find the people who have it. And so you have to flip the mind switch one day at a time to look at what you have and not to think selfishly, but to glorify Yah and be grateful for the things that you have, to see even going back to your childhood, if you haven't, taking your childhood to prayer, talking to the Father about your comparisons that you had amongst your siblings, if you had them, because the way we develop as young girls is there's an incredible mirror effect that happens as an adult. So as a young girl, if you had comparative mind, if you had things that you saw in others, no matter sibling or whoever, school, public school, whoever, when it started, finding that will be helpful in your repentance journey. Mother Jennifer.
And this is why it's so important to have mature parents who can speak into the lives of their girls. Because you talk about the mirror, Sister Ashley, and, you know, there are so many negative mirrors out there that will communicate to the minds of the young daughters. And it's important for the parents to be able to get in the minds of the daughters to help them see the right way that they need to look at themselves, you know, the right way that they need to be loving themselves, the things that they should be listening to, how to combat the negative voices in their mind, how to fight the devil that is trying to communicate in their mind. And it's very important to have these conversations of, you know, with your daughters of what's going on in your mind, what negative thoughts are you battling. It's important for them to be able to come to you and be comfortable coming to you so that you can help them through that. We didn't have that, but they have the opportunity to actually get that so that they don't grow up with these same issues that the women of today are battling. Sister Ashley?
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yah. And Yah truly deserves an entire generation of purity, you know. And let's do what we can in the next generation to, I don't know, teach, train, and to observe, discern, and keep our ways out of them to the best of our ability, you know. I know that they'll deal with their own fears, their own lust, their own works of the flesh, but most definitely we have done our part. That's what we want to be able to stand in front of the Father or fall on our face and say. Mother Jennifer, next question.
Yes, ma'am. This next question is for you, Sister Ashley. It says, from your first day of cooking on the land up until today, what work or wisdom have you applied mentally and spiritually to not be moved and to be strengthened the way that you are today?
I think that's a really good question. I have to say that my focus is not on the moment, because the flesh really does try to make you focus on what just happened, who's looking, who's watching, what they said. You know, you have those temptations in the moment because you feel the pressure of the failure, or you feel the pressure of whatever's before you, right? And so you feel all that in the flesh, but to conquer the day, you know, and really truly be an overcomer in Christ Jesus, to say that your blood really does atone for me and make me different than who I am and what I'm feeling and facing right here and right now is really what you want to, you know, you want to glorify him. And so I got to say I wouldn't be able to overcome from the smallest first day to now without him. The flesh wants to overcome on its own without him. The flesh wants to glorify in itself. you know, for the things that it's been through. And the Most High Yah has done his part in making sure that I don't do that. He has crushed me. He has humbled me. And from day one till now, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So I hope I answered that. But, hey, if you have a terrible day, something that you call a terrible day, the goal is to overcome it, get past it, and not to think on it. So you don't go to bed with it because you'll wake up with it. And so that is something that I've learned is the day like I had today, I'm sure I've had 100 or more of them. And so that's why when you have it, it's not such a big deal because you may have it again. But getting your focus off of it and really just having that victorious mind, like this is a grind, you know, and no one's deserving of my attitude, though sadly they may get it. You know, no child, no adult is deserving of me expressing that this day was terrible and everything went wrong, you know. So I hope that helps, Mother Jennifer. Is there something else you could ask me to clarify?
Anything? Yes, ma'am. There's another part, actually, to that that question. The second part is your day today, I would probably try to step away to get myself together. But can you please speak on not being able to step away and to war right where you are? Sister Ashley?
Yes, my husband has taught me to be comfortable in silence. And what does that mean? Let's say, for example, I have to be silent for 30 seconds on this radio show. You know, maybe I got to go over here and look for a page. So I'll give you an example. Okay, I'm going to do it now. Okay. In that silence, I'm doing what I need to do, which is find my page. And I'm not stressing about the environment, which is, I got a lot of people listening to me right now. And he taught me that, and you can apply it, let's say, in the classroom. Everyone's looking at you. They're looking at your board, perhaps. You're walking around. I'm instructing or giving out these class assignments, so I can't step away. What can I do? I can take my moment of silence as I make my rounds. You gain authority over the children, so you can most definitely say, I need everyone to be silent, please. Okay, and we do that all the time. We say 10 seconds to silence, and we count down 10 to 1, and we do it fast, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and everybody's silent. You know, so you have to gain authority over your own mind and your day. And I do that, you know, even just from walking to my house to the dining hall, that's my moment of silence, you know. I don't have these huge expectations of I need 25, 30 minutes, 15. Why? Because all you need is a lot of self time. That wasn't time with you and y'all. That was time for you to, you know, shake off your anxiety and your stress, but you didn't give it to him, right? And so in that moment of silence, I'm talking to the Father in my mind, and I'm asking him because I feel a presence of anxiety or I feel something that is not welcome. And you master those moments by truly not wanting to be that person that destroys everyone else's day, that affects the entire room, you know? You don't want to be that person that nobody wants to be around, honestly, that's in the flesh, that has no maturity in maintaining her own emotions. If you always give yourself that moment away, that's that same card that the military holds up, you know, and says, that's enough. You know, I need a moment, okay? And I'm definitely not saying that there's times that I haven't needed a moment, right? There's still strength in that, but Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. It's like Elder Rufus always says, you know, you have to learn how to get a hold of the Father in the midst of chaos. So you're in constant communication with him no matter what. You could be washing dishes. You're in constant communication with him. If there's something that's unsettling that's taking place, you're in constant communication with him. So it's the battle. Say it again, Sister Ashley.
Yes, ma'am. Inner peace. That's all. I'm listening.
Yes, absolutely. And it's an internal battle, and so it has to be an internal fight. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Well said. Some days, you know, are more difficult than others, I think, for any of us and all of us, you know. Some days, I had a young daughter. I didn't do anything. We, the land, had a young daughter come and stay for a while. And, you know, that happens to many young daughters that get the privilege to come and be with us weeks, months, summer, or whatever. And she asked to step away in the kitchen, and I didn't allow her. And that was hard for me, actually. because I'm a woman too. I would love to cater to your emotion. I know what just happened. It's very impactful. It's possibly your first time going through it, you know. But no, if I can't step away from this, I can't let you. Right? You can strengthen your emotions right here, and let's keep it moving. You will get your moment. You will always get your moment. But if you don't give it to yourself when you need it, then you'll start shedding that selfishness. If I want my moment right now, maybe I can gain some strength by making it wait. You know? Maybe I'll get to it. I'll get my moment. Let me master this right now, you know? And that was really good for her. It was a really good experience for her. And she didn't know that if it had happened the next day, I'd give her a moment, you know? I never want to be cruel or even manly and authoritative in my demeanor. I just want to help strengthen, you know? That's what we're all here for. So if you wanted your moment and you were with me, I'm going to tell you no, okay? But I can also discern when you really, really need it. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. We have another question if you're ready.
Yes, we are. I am.
All right, next question says, are there any tips or suggestions that you have when you are a sister entering another family's home? And also, if you are a sister who will be receiving another sister coming into your home? This is for those of us who are new to getting under one roof. So she's speaking a non-wife, so not a new wife, but this is a sister that's coming into a new home. She said, this is for those of us who are new to getting under one roof. The question concerns scheduling, cooking, cleaning, and rearing of the children together. I would like to honor the family who enters my master's home. Do you sit down and set expectations and schedules? Do you see how each other works with one another before setting schedules? My master is confident that we will work things out accordingly. How do you begin? Sister Ashley?
Go ahead, Mother Jennifer, please, you first.
Yes, ma'am. I believe that there definitely needs to be a high level of organization. Things do have to get organized. There needs to be schedules. There needs to be, things delegated regarding the cooking and the cleaning. There needs to be communication regarding the rearing of the children. And it is a good idea to know them that labor among you. So you have to understand, okay, is this sister well-versed in the area of cooking? Is this sister well-versed in the area of cleaning? Does this sister already understand these things, or is she in a position where she has to learn these things first? You know, if she has to learn, then she's going to need somebody to help her in the kitchen first. You don't just throw her in there. So you have to understand and know, okay, what is she good at? What does she need help with? And you still assign people to those things that they may not be great in, but you can't just leave them on their own to just learn things on their own. For example, if you have a garden, you want to put the sister who is the best at the garden, you want to put her in authority over that particular thing. So it's about getting to know your sisters, learning your sisters, getting a schedule for everything, a cooking schedule, a cleaning schedule, a laundry schedule, the dish schedule, communicating about the discipline, the rearing of the children, making sure that everyone is on the same page when it comes to the children. There's a lot that should be taken into account when it comes to everything. You know, what types of meals you all are going to eat. What the budget is going to be. You have to discuss with your husband what the budget is going to be regarding the meals. And when you come from living individually and you end up living under one roof, then more than likely your meals are going to be very different than what you've come from. You know, there might be a lot more casseroles that you might be eating instead of, a lot of high-scale meals that you might be used to that. So there's an adjustment period that has to take place, but the goal is that there's a greater goal in mind that you have to have, you know, and the goal is that you all want to be able to come out of her and you want to be able to come together in common unity as one and you want to be able to follow the instructions of the man of Yah. Sister Ashley?
I enjoyed your answer. I know I haven't had the opportunity to live under one roof as communal homes to just have community experience, and we all have our own dwellings. And one good example of, as I said, not communal living in one home, but one good example of accepting someone onto community, from my heart, the first example that came up was Sister Adele. Sister Adele moved here, and I considered the things that she has to go through. You're moving to, you know, another country, completely different language, completely different people, you know, completely different communication. We're, you know, very abstract here. Children that are also getting used to the environment, weather, completely different. Going from wherever she may have lived or however convenient it may or may have not been into the home that she's in now, which is a huge change, just where everything's located, the discipline of the schedule, you know, the times, the meals, every single thing was completely different. And I was immediately compassionate on the circumstance, I mean, from day one. And even being a deacon's wife, maybe people would think that I would need to be more pushy in the way that I, you know, communicate or that I communicate how things need to be done or get done or whatever. But there's a lot of factors. There's, number one, let's see how a pastor guides this man in his home. Let's see if pastor instructs any of his women to, you know, communicate with them and be over them. He may or may not. And so I really stand way back, you know. I don't jump into someone's life looking for a friend because they'll find me for what they need. It could be very overwhelming to cram a lot down someone's life or throat, but at the same time, there might be somebody who wants that. So you even have to learn that person's personality. And so by all means, I don't mean don't give them any law or rules and everything that Mother Jennifer said, but just bring the balance of how we live and allowing people to, you know, I need to learn how you receive information before I choke you with it too. And so there's not any mistakes that you're going to make that need to be, you know, made bigger than they really are. You know, okay, maybe you woke at the wrong time or came to breakfast at the wrong time, washed at the wrong time. Yes, it's a disciplined lifestyle, but let's not forget to honor all men and to have mercy and compassion for one another. That is a godly nature, you know. So though we have a structure, there's compassion, like Mother Jennifer used that word, that's really applicable. And that just came to my heart because Sister Adele was very deserving of that compassion, forsaking all that she had and following her husband. You know, so just something to consider when you're taking others into possibly your husband's home or when you're going into someone else's home. It's a lot to glean. It's a lot to learn. You got a whole another life ahead of you. And for some people it clicks and others it doesn't. You know, some people come and it's a wonderful thing and some come and it's a grind. And that's the life we live, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, and really you have to remember to give people time to grow, but at the same time, it don't take all that, you know. So if you love Yah, you're going to want to obey him. So like Elder says a lot, it don't take all that to just love Yah, to just obey. It just don't take all that, but we have to give people time to grow as well. But you should not be taking advantage of someone's patience. Don't take advantage of their kindness. Don't just say, oh, they'll forgive me. If I cut up this week, they'll forgive me, and then we'll just move forward. No, it don't take all that. You need to be showing that you love Yah regardless. And that's to everybody. So anybody coming into a new home or anybody receiving people coming into a new home. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. On day one of school this year, we did a fun lesson of learning the story and the story and the history behind each other's name. how each of us got our names, you know. And like I said, there's 9 students, and each one of them are able to share their story, you know, where the name came from. Why was that important? Because then I could jump over to a few verses. I used three scriptural references of the Most High's character being his name. Your name, who you are, Jennifer, is a character, you know. And so taking his name in vain is misrepresenting his character. And so we just did a brief lesson. It was really fun. I got to learn about everybody's name. But I wanted to establish with them that we have a character that we're developing. And at that age, each one of them are developing characters, and they're developing reputations amongst the saints and the land. And most definitely, you, when you come into a home or someone comes into your home, you're living communally or community, you got a chance to start over and build a reputation. And it's not a reputation of perfection and flawless, no mistakes. It'll never be that for you or anybody else. You know, we grow together. That's what we do. We grind together. That's what we do. And we endure one another. But your name and your character is just as Mother Jennifer spoke of Elder Rufus having that high standard, that it don't take all that. That's what you want in your character. You want that to be a part of you, that it don't take all that. You don't want someone to say, man, the sister struggles over and over and can't get over the one thing. You know, there's one thing over and over. Or you don't, not that, you know, fear of man brings a snare. So I'm not trying to present that fear of man in front of you that you would never overcome it. But you do want to perfect your character to represent the Messiah in everything that you do. And if it is in failure, in embarrassment, in humiliation, then show everybody how to jump back up. Show everybody how the Messiah can make you an overcomer one day to the next. You know, represent him in your failures. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. We have another question if you're ready.
Yes, ma'am.
It's actually a statement. She says, my chat isn't working, but I'm listening in and I'm smiling as I do. We have all had those days and in the midst have to intentionally choose to praise Yah and overcome, especially in times when others may be watching to see your reaction. She says, one Sabbath, I asked for help from a sister getting a pan out of the oven. She got the pan out and right to the counter and spilled it all on the floor. This is 30 minutes before the meal needed to be served. I looked at the food and looked at all the faces watching me. I honestly had no rise, any negativity within me, and I praise Yah for it because I was able to respond appropriately and not react in the flesh. Simply pushed forward and gave instructions towards a solution for feeding our men and children. Days like these are testing and proving. Thank you so much for sharing. We as sisters are capable of overcoming more than we give ourselves credit. Walk in his spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I rejoice with you. When you master your flesh, you're mastering reactions, really. That's what you're doing. You're mastering reactions. And so no one's deserving of your attitude, because even as our children aren't intentionally spilling, dropping, breaking, dumping. Hopefully they're not, right? And so they don't deserve your attitude. They deserve your patience and your coaching and your training. And so same for any woman, you know, even more so for women. They don't need our rule and our authority. They just need our effectiveness, our maturity, our sternness, our good decision-making. So, good job. Hallelujah, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. I enjoy reading the messages that we get of the testimonies of overcoming, and we have another one. It says, Shalom, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. This message is right on time. I, too, had an overcoming day. Hallelujah. Praise Yah for working in me. Praise Yah for the tenderness of my sister Rachel, for her encouragement that everything will be okay and I will get through this. Praise Yah for Mother Jennifer and her knowledge and wisdom and time to respond to my situation. I took a step back to take a breather and gather the children so that we may all sit down and speak out loud the things that we are all thankful for. When I went back to my task of making homemade mayonnaise, everything worked out perfectly. A little too salty, but I overcame and was able to have patience and not get overwhelmed that things weren't going smoothly and that I spent more time on this project than was it salty or not. We were joyous that I, by the grace of Yah, accomplished the mission. I've been able to apply this overcomer mentality so much as I continue to learn and grow more in the faith. Praise Yah for this love and unity of a sisterhood that Straightway has given us through obedience. We definitely have the ability to take a simple task and complicate it, letting the Most High Yah know that we need Him and cannot do anything without Him is so important. He is so right on time to send us the help that we need in all things, great and small. Hallelujah. Bless you both and bless all my sisters who are striving in the same fight. And thank you, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer, for sharing the relatable situations of your day that help us to see that we are definitely not the only ones having days like this. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Bless you. Thank y'all for your participation tonight. Another question in the chat room says, I'm trying to master being quiet in the mind before acknowledging the Father in the morning, but it seems to be very difficult. Do you have any wisdom on that? I would ask, sister, that you would talk to the Father about what's in your mind as you're trying to acknowledge Him. Meaning, if you got things in your mind and you're trying to be quiet before the Father, start talking to Him about what's in your mind and ask Him to help you and let Him know that your intention is to be quiet before Him. Hallelujah. It reminds me of Adam in the garden when he said, who told you you were naked? Adam's running around feeling a certain way, right? And he's covering himself and hiding, maybe possibly from the shame and now the acknowledgement and everything that has just happened to him. Imagine the experience from going from life to sin, you know? And so he's not saying it to Yah. Yah is saying to him, who told you? Because he's wanting Adam to acknowledge. He's wanting Adam to communicate and open up his mouth, you know? So you got this going on in your mind. Talk to the Father about it. Sometimes we want to war. And once again, get that checklist right. Let me get this. Let me do this, 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 and this. And then when I do all this, then I'll talk to the Father about it. No. Now we put Him, we acknowledge the Most High Yah in all our ways. Okay? All of them. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. We have another question in the email, Sister Ashley, if you're ready.
Yes, ma'am.
It says, how do you help your sister to overcome spirits that you have overcome? Is it possible to want it more than your sister? And if so, how do we find the balance in being a help but not a hindrance or become their enemy or put a spirit off that you are better off than they are? Sister Ashley?
This is a good thought. Let me take my time. When any of us overcome something, or when any of us find what we don't want inside of us, you're going to automatically see it brighter and stronger in everyone else. That is supposed to teach you the workings for your own meditations and make you produce compassion for those that are dealing with what you may be dealing with. But the wicked and evil heart of the flesh will point the finger. And it's amazing because you were just bound by it. And when you get free from something, of course you also have that desire to want to testify and glorify the Father of the freedom that you now have of something. And in doing that, what's the verse Pastor said? The wickedness of a man is better than the good of a woman. Because your intention to glorify the Father and your testimony could also be to exalt yourself with showing her herself under the radar, making someone else feel a certain way by the power of your testimony. That can happen. Now, how did I get all that out of her just asking, right? Because I know I've fought this long enough to know that when you see the evil of what you're fighting within someone else, it is never for the intention for you to set them free, tell them about themselves, or even initiate helping them at all. When the Father sends someone to you with questions, then you can share the power of His might that helped you overcome. Until then, we don't meddle into other people's lives and testimonies. You know, we literally allow the Ruach to do His work. And you can, you know, hinder and destroy the work, put stumbling blocks in front of people's lives by initiating what you believe they need, you know? And that's very, it's very out of order, Ms. Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. And you have to remember that there was someone who tolerated you before it was laid on your heart that you wanted to be set free, before you got the mindset that you wanted to just completely change your mind. There was someone that tolerated you in your state. And you have to remember that your process may not be the same as theirs. So even if they do come ask you questions on how to be set free, you know, what did you do? I'm always very careful. I say, well, this is something that worked for me. However, you have to seek the Father for your process as well. This may not be your exact process. So we have to be very careful about giving people cookie cutter steps, because it may not be the same. And you want to be able to lead people to seek the Holy Spirit for themselves. Now, you can help them. You can support them. You have to make sure that your intent is pure, that you're not pointing the finger at them at all. But remember, it's going to help you have compassion if you remember that there was somebody that tolerated me before I got delivered. There was somebody that that loved me and tolerated me, and they probably saw this in me, but they still tolerated me. They loved me, and I have to be loving towards this one. If they come to you and they're asking for help, they know that you've been delivered in this way, or if even if the Father leads you to say something, it's not to the point where you just need to go and pointing fingers and bashing them because they're in a state. They may not even know that they have this thing going on that they have to overcome. So it should humble you more than anything. It should humble you more than anything, and it should give you a level of love and compassion like never before for that particular sister. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. This is why being a mother of children was so paramount in me, you know, a tool for me to try to aim for the kingdom, because having children, you have to express those, you know, the patience and the compassion and often the tolerance. And then you can self-reflect and you can go, I am being tolerated all the time, you know, by my husband, by my family, by the saints on the land. I'm being tolerated to the point sometimes of rejection, to the point of embarrassment or humiliation. But all throughout the years, you're being tolerated. And so it does help humble you. And I think that's an acknowledgement that helps you mentally know that you need to tolerate someone else. You know, tolerate sounds like an aggressive word. It's not. It's just that sister doesn't bother me because I'm being tolerated, you know. And that's just a humble mind that we should have. Mother Jennifer?
Or should we use the word long-suffer, Sister Ashley? Because we should use the word long-suffer. You know, when Pastor talks about long-suffering, he says none of us understands what long-suffering really is. Like, we think we understand, we think we know. But when you look at how the Father has long-suffered with each of us, we haven't done that, not even to the slightest degree at all. We have not done that. So when you think about the word long-suffering, think about how Yah has long-suffered you. Think about how others have suffered long with you. And it'll help put things into perspective. Sister Ashley.
Absolutely. Question in the chat room says, Shalom and blessings. As a young sister, unmarried and without children, how do you appropriately handle a situation where a sister is relying on you often to watch her children without asking, battling thoughts of this being my prime years before having children of my own and having to take on the role prematurely? Okay, so I have two thoughts. One, if a sister is relying on you too often to watch her children, you should communicate to her. If you feel uncomfortable communicating to her and she just left them without communicating to you, you could take the dangerous role of leaving them if she didn't ask you to communicate to you. I don't say that as a safe instruction, but as a mother, we shouldn't do that. So one thing, for example, if she's asking you too often, you need to learn how to say no, okay? You need to. If there's someone in your life to help you say no, if you have mother, father, head of assembly, et cetera, then communicate this just for your own sake, that you're weak in this area, you need help, you need to say no. Second, Violent thoughts of being in your prime years? You have no prime years, ma'am. Before having children of your own and having to take on the role prematurely, this is an American culture in your mind. Your mind tells you you have prime years, that you need to live a certain style of life before you take on your own children. What you actually need is to be a part of children's lives, because you are being groomed to be a mother. And if you want your self time now, you're going to really want it when you have children. Okay? So I'm not sure of the details of this situation. I don't believe in abusing anyone's time as a young unmarried sister. I get help from sisters that love children and love my children. I don't believe in abusing them and you using you too much to watch children. That will tax you. And if that's the circumstance, it is wrong. But you don't need to believe that there's a certain life you live now and then there's a certain life you will live, and let you get these prime years out of the way. Mother Jennifer, do you agree?
Yes, ma'am. I do agree. And, you know, it really is a very big thing when if someone is taking advantage of the fact that, you know, okay, this sister is unmarried and she doesn't have responsibilities, so let me just leave the children with her. My children love her. She does well with them. But you have to communicate. You have to be respectful, regardless of the age of the person. You have to teach them how to effectively communicate. Don't just assume that you can just leave the children with this particular sister. And like you said, Sister Ashley, these younger sisters need to learn how to communicate. They need to learn how to say no. They need to learn how to have conversations where you sit down and you say, you know, if you need me to watch the children, I don't mind at times. But there are times when I'm not going to be able to. If you have, you know, other obligations or you have other things going on, then you need to be able to effectively communicate that. Because you're sending a signal. If you're not saying anything, you're sending a signal that it's okay. It's okay. I'll watch them regardless. You can just leave them. And you may not even know that the mother or the father has even left. You know, and you're left with the children. But it's always good to communicate, because you need to know where the parents are. What if something happens? What if you need to get a hold of someone? You know, you should always know where the parents are, and you should always know who's in charge of watching the children. I don't believe that you can communicate too much when it comes to that. Sister Ashley?
Good balance. I think as a young, unmarried, single sister, volunteering to watch children should be more often than someone placing them on you. So it should be like, we don't here, and I'm meaning I speak for all the mothers here, we do not overwhelm anyone who doesn't have children with our children. They actually volunteer more than we say, can you? You know, and so I think that's important. And you want to take those who really love children and really build that, you know, and then those who, hey, they might love the kitchen, they might love the greenhouse, they might love other things, and children is not their focus. So you don't want to give your child continually to that person. You also want to feed into the personality of that person. But let's bring it all to one mind and say that as young women, we should want to be around children. You know, we should want to be around mothers learning what to do and not to do. We should want to be helpers, volunteering to be around one another. At the same time, allowing young daughters moments to learn with grown women and not always be with the children. Well said. Next question, if you have one.
I have no more questions, Sister Ashley. The email is clear at this point. What you got?
Hallelujah. Nothing at all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Thank you for, hey, your feedback means a lot to us, because we get to speak about the things that you guys want to hear, or at least those who are able to give input, give emails, and give calls. Thank you, Granny Barb, for coming and showing up every week. Thank you, Sister Aya, for your comments. She said these broadcasts are truly very good counseling sessions. Very blessed once again. Thanks to Abba Father for all the wisdom and compassion shared. Hallelujah. I know that for the righteous and those of you who have the Ruach, we're all striving for one mind, and we all should look at one another as mothers and learn from each other, not pretending that we have it all together, not even myself. I learn from other mothers as well. So don't see any of us as above the flesh, right? And let's keep striving. Let's keep striving. Let's communicate more. And learn how to communicate more respectfully and compassionately. Mother Jennifer, end it from your end, and I'm going to play a song. Bless y'all.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Daughters of Zion. Remember to focus on the Be a Blessing list, and please let's expedite our giving so that we can actually be a blessing to Straightway. Shalom.
Shalom, and guess what, y'all? I almost forgot to play a very important clip that I wanted to remind you of at the end of Passover. I actually reached out to Ashley Miles, bless you, Deacon Samuel, and Deacon Bell. Deacon, let me borrow his phone to reach out to Deacon Samuel to get to Ashley. When you don't know all the saints' phone numbers, it's funny what you'll do. I want to play this clip from Passover service because this was something that Pastor said to us, hallelujah, about the season that we just went through. And coming up on the Feast of Tabernacles, coming up on the dead season, I just really liked this promise, and I'll hit a song. You guys, I hope it comes through on the audio, because this is when this was Passover, when there was a lot of people in the building. So if it's zeros and you can't hear me, throw it in the chat room, and I will not make you endure it very long, okay? So I hope you can hear our shepherd's voice. Here we go.
All right, Israel, now we got this year in front of us, right? So you've got some purpose. And make a choice and decision that you're going to walk in the newness of life. Whatever you do, don't count the blood of a covenant wherewith we were sanctified in unholy fame by doing despite unto the spirit of grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He paid a lot for us.
Hallelujah.
So this year, that's perfect to make sure we're going to be the best and the strongest Israelite. We're putting out all bitterness, all strife, all malice, all ill will, all calamity, all division, all discord. Hallelujah! By this shall all men know that you are my disciples by the love that you have one for another. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Bless y'all tonight. Thank you for listening.
We can get lost in this moment. Praising y'all all the time. We could get lost in this moment. Lost in this moment. Lost in this moment.
Oh,